walk with Jesus, one of the things that we get to know is that he is the authority. And he leads us with the question, what is the church? And who is the church? And these are important questions for you and me, especially in the front of this. You see, church people, too often the church is first seeing what happens here in this room. And it is. The church is with Jesus in us and through us. He is the fuel of the daily lives at work, school, and on vacation, the grocery store, and any other place you might find yourself during the week. And now, you don't have to be seeing him as you're waiting for your own soldiers. And you don't need to mumble prayers as you're waiting in line, waiting for anything at any store. If each of us were committed to living out our church's vision and mission statement, we would radically change our impact on the people around us. And if we think about our church, and we think about our lives as we go and live out what we say we are or who we say we are, Jesus should radiate out to our lives impact we go around. And so, as we think about our vision statement, which is what we want to accomplish, the end of the day, the project that we're looking to produce, that statement is loving Jesus and loving others. And one leads to the other through love Jesus, through love others. And as I mentioned, that's how we will accomplish our vision. We will achieve loving God and loving others as we share Jesus and as we're growing together. And we all speak together as parallel ideas. And one way that we love, one way that we share Jesus for growth, is by what I call wearing Jesus. That is, being like Jesus. The Apostle Paul, I believe, understood this specifically. He probably broke this concept of course, the idea of wearing Jesus as we live our daily lives. I think this is what he had in mind. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, we read these words. Since then, that is having the righteous Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since that your thoughts are things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That is, put on or wear Jesus, verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the earthly things. Essentially, what Paul is inviting us to do here is to be Jesus-like in how we approach and take on each new day, for that means each new event or experience in life. Just like getting up in the morning and choosing the clothes that we wear for the day, and currently looking for more sweaters for the different weather, we can choose our best provision before we leave in the morning. We can choose Jesus. We can choose what Jesus stands for and what he has changed in our lives. And so Paul invites us to be like Jesus in everything that we get to do through him. And it is in this that we find that Jesus had in mind that he taught his disciples on that hillside with Mount Sanctuary by Matthew and Luke. And we refer to Matthew to Paul earlier, listen now to Luke in chapter 6. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who eat now, for you will last. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and weep for joy, because great is the reward of heaven. For that is how the ancestors came to find us. But woe to you who are rich, for you already received the title. Woe to you who are well-fed, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh at us, for you will mourn with grief. And woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how the ancestors treated the false prophets. Our book, in this book, Live in Grace, Walk in Love, addresses this idea of wearing Jesus in our daily life. Instead of being consumed
consumed with the details of what we might do, we ought to be thinking of the much larger picture, that this is for every one of us that we ought to be doing. God says to Father, he says, don't get wrapped up in detail, thinking about God's will for your life. God already told us what it is. He wants us to love peace and to love one another. And he says, it's that simple. He doesn't see that as qualitative by the context in which we do it. He just wants us to give away our love and to do that freely. God wants us to love others the way he has loved us. Hopefully, if you have access to that book, Living Great Walk in Love, and it's also a parallel of the human discourse. Apparently, the path that we choose to follow, whether we're a doctor, a plumber, a lawyer, a teacher, a janitor, a lawyer, is much less important than the kind of life that we actually live. That is, the character that we choose to live. Using Matthew's list of Matthew's character traits, I'd like to highlight for us this morning the character traits that help us where these Beatitudes, these truth statements, the Christ, and they are what I would call spiritual children. As we go through these, I'd like you to keep in mind as we read that blessed in this context carries the idea of being favored or being graced by God. Blessed provides a life of hope, a life of joy, regardless of our daily circumstances. So in Christ, we find ourselves able to rise up above because of the story of the world, and that is a very careful thing. But as much as we want to be happy, we are not going to be happy. That is also a much more significant reality of the story of the world, and that is the contentment of God. And that's the path of my friend, the fellow of the people here. So my friend is to identify and to define the Beatitudes and help us think through them what they might look like as we put them down in our daily life. So beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is owning that we are soul bankrupt. We have nothing of value to offer, and so we find ourselves intended to God. It's a true humility. It's a healthy self-awareness that opens our hearts to God's love, to God's mercy, and God's grace. And maybe that He enables us to listen clearly and to obey the Holy Spirit. And essentially, this soul condition opens our hearts to receive Jesus' Spirit that we might be able to live as He lives, to live His kind of life instead of us. And instead of taking what we need, we might offer what others what we need. Others might need our time. We will be willing to offer. Others might need our attention. We will be willing to give it. Others might need some of our possessions, and we will freely give them. Perhaps they need words of our peace. We will offer them. And perhaps it's actually an invitation to new life. We will be there with the gospel and peace. And my question, friends, is this who we are? Are we for peace? Jesus continues, he says, blessed are those who mourn, which is Matthew 5, verse 4. Mourn here is to be sad for, to be sad for the sins that we have embraced. Not just the sins that we feel here and there, but sins that we have embraced through the life that actually follows the slave of our daily life. Jesus taught that we might learn that it is good to admit the sins. And that's what he offers here, blessed are those who mourn. He wanted us to know that it is important that we actually be sorry for our sins. Don't feel sorry that we got caught. We're not picking up our sins or doing your sins, but sometimes we're caught by the Holy Spirit to be reminded of it in the moment. And it is this sorrow for our sins that becomes a clean confession for us as we release what we've been holding on to. It's an entry, and it somehow raises up or restores the new spirit under the influence of that sin. editors wrote letters that said to us, from sins against others or sins against others, from their voice in our confession, they produce the same blessings no matter who or what we're confessing to. So we are forgiven. We are realized to be new, and we understand that God always provides the first step. And again, I ask the question, is this who we are? Blessed are the meek, verse 5. Meekness is not weakness. It is soul power that is under control. It would be as if you were about to say, and with this meekness that we wear, you can speak that volcano comes down so that we don't explode. It is soul power that is under control. The meek are truly gentle. They're ready to associate with others. They're safe to be around. They're good to be around. They are aware that they see as nothing that is not concerned. And rarely that one has or is with this open hand, appearing gentle, compassionate, and deeply loving others. The meek find their betterment in Christ. Nothing that they have, nothing that they can do, and not that they have more than others. They are relational, they are not compassionate. Not a surrender of life for a cost, but a leveling of life for all of us as we come together with Him. So the question is this who we are? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, Matthew 5. Hunger and thirst. That is to seek satisfaction. So this is not about a snack or a meal or a feast. This refers to the condition of our soul, the status of our soul, to seek satisfaction. And it's the satisfaction that is achieved as we chase after more of God, more of God's image of this. And it's not just unto salvation, but it is beyond that. It's building on our salvation. It's in addition to what God has already done in us, and it's that more that He wants to create in us and through us. And it is this hunger and thirst. It's not simply to have or to have more, but it's turned to a kind of living that is not possible outside of the relationship between us. And it is not possible unless we are consumed by this. This hunger and thirst is for a satisfaction that the Lord was experienced before we have found Jesus' faith. And then the question must be asked, is this who we are? Talk about a little bit for a second. Other-minded, righteous, mercy and Jesus are captured the pardon of injury. It captures the idea of almsgiving, of releasing for others. It's a forgiveness that is a meeting of needs for others. It's a beautiful concept. And mercy does not happen in a vacuum. It's not just a thing that exists by itself, but it happens in response to. Mercy is a response to distress. We are merciful for the distress. It is a response to an object, a person. We respond in mercy to make a difference. We respond to distress. I think it's wonderful to have mercy and worship. Think of the context in which this was written, where it's labeling it in the inheritance. Paul and others, Jesus taught to change that life. And so we find that mercy is not just a thing, but it's a response to what the world is. The merciful observe and react with a partner, and they respond, and they comprehend them, they respond to the need that they have observed. One of the works, the virtue of mercy is a rising emotion of heart, which once excited is moved to respond to the need. This is not a gift. The virtue of mercy is a rising emotion of the heart, which once excited is moved to respond to the need. It has that feeling without the action of voyeurism. It's a spectator sport, and too many are spectators in the field as we're living our daily lives. Jesus calls us to be merciful, to respond to the needs that we see. And further, the merciful are also forgivers. And rather than trying to judge, jury, or execution, acceptable, they release the effect. We see this in the Lord's Prayer about the sixth time. Forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven the debtors. Recognizing that being forgiven is intimately connected to forgiveness. The question we need to ask is this who we are? So I hope that I've been going through this, you're catching the trend that each one of these realities is a longing of the human heart that is now dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God who is within us in response to the need and the desire to do more, to be more, to give more. And Jesus' presence literally consumes us, consumes our voice, consumes our hands, consumes our feet, that we might actually be him and into where we are. And if you think about it, responding to the attitude as describing the second year, it's an opportunity for us to actually live out the church of vision and discipline. Continuing on, blessed are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. Too often we miss or ignore this. We miss or ignore this, and too often it seems okay for so many of us to be smart. One preacher said, "Don't call to be holy, we settle for being not too good." While Jesus Christ, we can close ourselves in His righteousness, and then we are wise and reflect righteousness through our words and deeds. Being smart, not too good, we can close ourselves in His righteousness, and then live wise and reflect righteousness through our words and deeds. And this is inward reality, not simply an act of understanding of self. Pure heart is the heart's condition. It's who we are, it's what we are. After Jesus' Savior takes up residence, as Jesus' Lord continues to consume and grow more and more. The pure heart is thrives to inner moral cleanness. Cleanness. Not merely an external form of looking good if you will. And the question is, what is the question? Is this who we are? Blessed are the teachers. Verse 9. More than uninterrupted time, the idea of peace is a wholeness or a completeness. It's a sense of oneness with God, with self, and with others. Peacemakers actually broken or taught peace. They create space for quiet, for harmony, and for together. And they do so with their selfless love to God that then flows to those around them. They share the peace they enjoy with God so that there's peace among others. How do they do that? They knock, they teach. They offer the very peace that they have been enjoying with God. And that is where the peace begins. It begins in the heart that is changed by Jesus' word. They are influenced. They influence the world around them. They influence the world with the peace they personally enjoy. And the question is this who we are? Blessed are the persecuted. I'm going to begin this by telling you this one's a little bit more complicated than the other. There's actually two pieces to it, and one of the pieces kind of goes from the two pieces. So, blessed are those who are persecuted, Matthew 5:10-5. Notice verse 5, chapter 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Not because of anything wrong they've done, not because of anything offensive they've done, but because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is the attitude that is meant for you and for me, because we are loving Jesus, because of righteousness. It's a universal principle that challenges to live a better kind of life. But there is a promise that we have the kingdom of heaven here in the heart, here in this church, and later in heaven, we see face to face. We say, blessed are the poor in spirit. But then there's the rest of the verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people in crisis insult you. Blessed are you when people persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of it. Rejoice and be glad because great is the reward of heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now these words in verses 11 and 12, they were directed at the disciples who were there with Jesus. And he spoke clearly, lest his disciples were surprised and shocked by the world which comes to their lives. And so as we look at these three verses, we need to see two things. In verse 10, it's a third person address. Blessed are those, and those of you and me, and all the believers enter that time. In verses 11 and 12, the second person, blessed are you as Jesus talking to the Father. Now, the bottom line, though, as we end these verses, we're not much different from them, except this was the teaching of the Jesus. But what Jesus is saying here, and these words are hard to swallow, is that persecution is a possibility simply because we try to follow Jesus and to imitate his life. We might be given a hard time. As a matter of fact, I think if we read this scripture, one of the feelings we have to walk away with is that we should now feel at home in the world. We're talking through. We should be influenced in it. It should not be coloring our lives. It should not be changing our lives. We should be passing through, but we might not feel at home. Actually, we probably shouldn't feel at home. And we should not look like, we should not look like everyone else just because that's what everyone feels. Because if we do, there is something wrong. The question is this the answer? The attitude of the clothing that Jesus wants us to wear for his kingdom. Instead of itinerary for sports or for sports, or for those who want to flesh out a visual mission statement and really pay attention to God. But Jesus says this a little bit differently. Listen to what he says in verse 13 of Matthew 5. He wants salt to the earth. But if the salt loses the saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by the earth. You, the light of the world, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bushel. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before us, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Salt has a flavor. Light has a vision, the ability to see. According to Jesus, we are to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We must be in the world to impact the world for Jesus. But we must not allow the world to take away the saltiness or dim our light. Salt and light are what make us different. If we lose our edge, we become ineffective for Jesus, and we become ineffective for the church, or for our people. Because when we think about the Beatitudes, the spiritual clothing, this aspect of Jesus we are to be wearing, true Jesus members, if you will, are to wear true humility, born out of brokenness, sorrow for the sins that we have committed, and basically those ideas. Their identification with all others because we're all in the same boat. Team members are to wear a gentleness to receive others, a longing for more of God so that we can live the life he lives. A God response through us towards others. Hope filling up with more of Jesus that we have more to share. And basically, these embrace the idea of actually living with Jesus' life. And there is also offering the teaching, enabling truth. There is grace through enduring hardship and persecution. And basically, we're called to imitate Jesus to others. blessings as we respond to the circumstances of our daily life. So when we worship, we are blessed. We are blessed. We favor the world and we influence others. We point them to ways to soul life, helping others see the grace of Jesus that we deserve. But sometimes we forget our connection with Him and the impact that that relationship could be having in our daily life. It's also the Christians, a real power is in our being different. Christians should be a new taste, a new choice, a new lifestyle. And if we become just like those around us, we lose our power to influence the sun. And it's in the past. Our real power is the life of the sun. And we reflect the righteousness of God into this dark world. And the life of the Christian ought to reveal the way that life really is. And then show the way that it ought to be. So simple. But it's not overwhelming. You see, God has given the Spirit who fills us, who empowers us, who enables us. He energizes our desire to be like Jesus. Did you catch that? He energizes our desire to be like Jesus. He can't make happen what we don't want. And so he energizes our desire to be like Jesus. And so in this empowerment, we actually be like Jesus to influence the world. And so I wonder this morning, is this who we are? Are we salty? Are we radically different from the rest of the world? Or have we chosen to be more of the same? Do our lives radiate life? The life of Jesus, His glory, and His wonder that changes lives with His Lord, men and women, boys and girls. Can others see Jesus through us? Are we different? Or have we settled to do more of the same? The church has really embraced the attitude